Good morning. We are continuing our exploration of the principles in the book Man Was Not Born to Cry by Joel Goldsmith. Today's chapter is Chapter 2, The One Great Demonstration. I consider this chapter a very special chapter, and the principles in it will set you free if you really catch them, and furthermore, if you put them into practice on a daily basis consistently. I know we often walk around and say to ourselves, perhaps repeating many times a day, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But that's just a statement of Scripture and won't do anything to set us free. It may help calm us down somewhat, but it won't set us free. Because it's necessary that you know the truth, and then it will set you free. And you might substitute the word experience for the word know. It's necessary that we experience the truth, and the truth will set us free. And you might substitute the word Christ or presence or God for the word truth. And so it would read, you must experience Christ, and Christ will set you free. You must experience the presence, and then the presence will set you free. Free from whatever particular hypnotism of this world you are suffering from, you are attached to, you are hypnotized by. So, let us get into this chapter. I'm going to read the first two paragraphs to you because I can't add anything to it. It's perfect as it is. So now listen. And if you haven't become still, please pause this talk and have a little contemplation, and then a period of resting in real meditation until you feel a stillness, a release. Then return to this so that you may be receptive to the voice of the Father, which speaks in between the lines, which speaks behind the words. And so it starts with this. Learning the importance of meditation is one of the first requisites in the development of spiritual awareness. Why the development of spiritual awareness? Well, let's pause here for a minute and explain that. Again and again and again, I have repeated to you in the last 5 years that knowing truth in the mind is almost worthless. It's not worthless because it's necessary that you know the letter first. But if you stay there, then it's worthless. There is another step, which is knowing the spirit of truth or the experience of truth. So, we, on this path, develop the spiritual awareness of truth, or the conscious awareness. You've heard me use those two words quite a bit. Conscious awareness of the presence is not the same as thinking about the presence, or praying to the presence, or waiting for the presence. It is the development of spiritual awareness or the conscious awareness of God in your midst, the actual feeling of it that sets you free. And so he is saying here that meditation is one of the first requisites in developing your spiritual awareness. Regardless of our intellectual capabilities or the amount of reading or listening to talks and tapes we may do, our spiritual awareness, our spiritual capacity, expands only in proportion to our ability to meditate. This spiritual awareness is developed in stillness, not in thinking, in listening, or in reading. And so if you read an hour a day or 5 hours a day and listen to a talk, you are not developing your spiritual awareness. Did you know that? This spiritual awareness is developed in silence. That's where it's developed. And it's very important that it is developed, because without spiritual discernment, well, the natural man cannot receive impartations from God, for they are spiritually discerned. If you will ever get to the place where you go beyond the mind and receive actual impartations from the presence of God, you're going to have to develop spiritual awareness. And spiritual awareness is developed in the silence. More spiritual awareness can be developed in 1 minute of silence than in 24 hours of reading. For this reason, reading and studying are only tools which we use to enable us to reach that inner silence, which is meditation. So in the first paragraph, he's explained the entire purpose of the Infinite Way, hasn't he? Which is to bring you through your reading and listening to that point where you are able to meditate and enter the silence. And then in the silence, without any help from you, spiritual discernment is developed. Spiritual awareness is developed. Your ability to discern the spirit or the presence is developed in silence. And you have nothing to do with it except to learn how to enter that silence and allow it, let it take place. Yes, the stone is cut out of the mountain without your hands. So, the second paragraph says, as we meditate and open this inner soul or spiritual faculty, we shall not only understand things that we knew about and never before understood, but things that we may never even have heard of before. In the stillness and quiet of the silence, we are able to receive what cannot be heard through the ears. Now, this next line, sentence, says something that I have been harping on for almost 2 years, about a year and a half. The more often we meditate, not the length of time in any one period, but the number of times in each 24 hours, even if each time be only a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, the more often we meditate, the more rapidly will our spiritual awareness be developed, and spiritual harmony brought into our experience. Now that's vitally important that you understand that. Most of you know that I was given a gift of the transcripts of the 1955 Kailua Study Series, a series of talks which Joel made in his house, and which only a handful of students attended. This was in 1955, and the purpose was to lift those students who attended out of the letter, that of knowing all these scriptures we can spout with the mouth and write in sentences, in letters, and online, taking those students out of the letter and into the spirit, or the conscious awareness of truth. And one of those talks, which I push every chance I get the opportunity, is the, well, let's see, I'll go look up the exact number. Hang on a minute. The 1955 Kailua Study Group Tape 6, Side 2, Experiencing the Christ. And in the transcripts, it's Chapter 12. Alright, so in that chapter, it states specifically that we need to meditate 12 times a day, but only for short periods. And the reason why I have been pushing that is because it became apparent to me that many of the people I listened to and read their posts online in the Mystical Principles group had a very good understanding of the letter of truth and were able to quote scripture easily and quote the writings easily, and yet their problems continued. And so that told me that they had the letter of truth, and yet their ongoing problems, they had yet to find freedom. So that told me that the spirit of the truth was lacking, because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's not something you can hide or pretend. It's either there or it isn't. So, again, it says here, and it's very, very important. It says, the more often we meditate, not the length of time in any one period, but the number of times in 24 hours, the more rapidly will our spiritual awareness be developed and spiritual harmony brought into our experience. So it's very important, if you would find the freedom you seek, you long for, that freedom in Christ, it's very important that you have many periods during the day and night of short meditations, 1 or 2 or 3 minutes. It's very important that you do not use a lot of words and thoughts. But he states in that chapter 12 in the Kailua Study Series that you can use one scripture or one statement to sort of help anchor you, such as, thy grace is my sufficiency in all things, and then rest. In fact, he says, if you have a problem confronting you, you might say something like, no answer to this, and then close your eyes, thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. And he further suggests that you take a statement that has nothing to do with the problem. In other words, if you're looking at the appearance of financial lack, you wouldn't close your eyes and say, thy grace is my sufficiency. Or thou art my supply, or anything that has to do with the problem. Because then, whether you realize it or not, you have just brought your problem into the meditation, and you're not allowed to bring a person or a problem or a condition into your meditation. That will prevent you from this developing of spiritual awareness. So, what do we understand so far? I hate to go all the way to New York to get to Texas when I'm in North Carolina, but that seems to be what I'm doing. So let me see if I can simplify this. So far, we have learned that it's vitally important that we move from the letter to the spirit, that we have not just the understanding of truth, but we have the spiritual awareness, spiritual discernment, the actual feeling of the presence. That's what's important, not the words or the thoughts. Now, to do that, it's very, very important that we begin to practice many periods of meditation a day, in which we take 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, rest back in the silence. Even if we feel nothing at first, we persist. Because in the silence is the only place that spiritual awareness, conscious awareness of the living God, is developed. You don't develop it. Nothing you know can develop it. You must be silent, and then it is developed by an unseen hand. That's what we understand so far, okay? And so, those of us that would like to experience the Spirit and have freedom from whatever's appearing must have these periods many times a day. And if you don't have them, and you're still sitting down for 1 hour of meditation at night, you're not following the directions. And if you don't follow the directions, you're not going to have the results. You're going to stay stuck. All right. In the silence, which you learn to enter through these many periods, well, let me explain how it happened to me. I have a pretty good IQ, at least I've been told. That's not necessarily a help, and I'm certainly not bragging, because I can tell you it cost me many years of thinking I knew these things because I could pass a test. Because if you asked me what is error, I could say it's a universal belief in two powers. If you ask me what is God, the nature of God, I could say omnipresence. The nature of God is omnipresence. All that the Father has is mine, and it's right here, always present. If you had asked me what the nature of prayer is, I could say prayer is the ability to listen, to be still, to receive impartations from God. And so you see, I'd get an A on the test. However, there was only one thing missing, and that was the experience of the Christ. So, I can tell you that having an intellectual capability, as he says, is not going to help you very much. God is realized in the silence. And so I had to learn how to enter that silence, how to get past the words and the thoughts, which is still sometimes difficult. And the way that I learned to enter the silence was through many periods of short meditations each day and night. Because what happened is, One of those times, I accidentally slipped into the silence. I had been contemplating for 30 or 40 seconds, came to a stop with my contemplation, and accidentally was still. And then there was a feeling of the presence for the first time. And aha! Then the mind thought it could duplicate it. And so the next time I sat down to meditate, the mind went through the exact same words and thoughts it knew that last time, and of course, it didn't work. Because it wasn't the mind, or the thoughts it was thinking, or the words it was contemplating, that produced that conscious awareness. It was the stillness that accidentally happened when the mind was quiet. And so through trial and error, I began to see that this mind was not going to help me in meditation. And that sometimes I could use the contemplation before becoming still just to give the mind something to do, to slow down. And then eventually, I reached the stage where almost at will I could be still and enter the silence. I say almost at will because there are things that come up to which I am attached emotionally, like if my wife is feeling ill or something like that, that it takes longer because I have to untangle myself from the emotions and the hypnotism of personal sense before I can enter the silence. So, what I'm trying to tell you, for those of you who are struggling, is that if you keep at it and you follow his directions and you have many periods in each 24 hours, spiritual awareness will be developed. It will happen. But remember, it took him, and he is honest about it, 8 months before he accidentally had the first glimpse, which only lasted a nanosecond. But he was having many periods a day. He was not sitting down for 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour at night. And that's the whole point of what I'm trying to say. And hopefully you got it. So, he says here, and he gives us another example, when we are called upon for help through a contemplation of truth, we bring ourselves to a place of stillness. The mind becomes calm, it starts to slow down. And in that stillness, the presence of God is realized and actually felt. God becomes an actuality, a reality, a presence which can be felt, realized. It is an actual presence which makes itself tangible within us. All right. And so, he is saying what I am saying, which is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have said we want to contact that soul realm within. But your conscious awareness of the soul, of the Christ, of the presence, is not developed. You don't learn how to have that conscious awareness in reading and listening to talks or talking to your friends. Not even in talking to your teacher. It's developed in one place only, in the silence. And the silence, if you remember, does not mean that you're blanking out all thought. No, it doesn't. The silence means that you've come to a point of stillness where the mind slows down. You're not using power of any kind. Silence is no power. It's the realm of no power. And so when you're not loving, fearing, or angry at any of the pictures appearing, then through your contemplation of scripture or statements of truth, you've reached a place of stillness where you're not battling anything. You're not trying to deny that this error is here, and you're not trying to affirm that God is all. You're not exercising any power at all. You're just simply resting. That is silence. That's silence. It may only last a second or two. But more can be accomplished in developing your spiritual awareness in that second of silence than in all the words and thoughts and statements of truth and scriptures and listening to talks and reading and all that. Why? Why? Why should that be that way, that in 1 second of silence more is accomplished than all those hours of work? It is because in all those hours of work you cannot be consciously aware of a presence. But in the silence you can catch a glimpse. Your awareness of the presence, the glimpse you have in the silence, that glimpse becomes your life. If this truth, this presence, this Christ is not forming itself as your experience, please, 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 please be honest with yourself. It doesn't matter if you tell anybody else, but be honest with yourself and say, hey, okay, I have a very deep, beautiful intellectual understanding of these principles. I can spout them with my mouth. I can record them with my pen. But I have not experienced liberty because I haven't had a glimpse. We have these poetic writings that say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But that's only a poem. Until you have the actual glimpse of the Spirit of the Lord, and then it begins to form itself. We have the saying, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Well, that's beautiful, but that doesn't mean you sit down in meditation and the thought comes to you, I am all, and you get up and say, okay, I've got it. And then you continue struggling. Nothing changes. The appearance is just as rock solid as ever. No. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, is a very beautiful, poetic, inspirational way of saying, when you have the real, actual glimpse, the actual feeling of the presence, the Spirit upon you and in you, which is not a thought or a word, but an inner opening, expansion, experience, that then melts the appearance and forms itself as the harmony of your life. You see that? Have I made that abundantly clear? Now, if you are not able, or let's put it this way, that's not the right sentence, scratch that. If you haven't, up until now, experienced the presence, everyone is able, but if you haven't yet experienced the presence or had this inner glimpse of the soul realm or experienced the Christ as a living, breathing presence upon you and in you, then you need to go back and find out what you missed. We are told that we start this journey by practicing the presence, remembering God throughout the day and night. And this is a mental practice, this remembering, this consciously remembering God throughout the day and night. Later, as you add meditation to it, it becomes a spiritual practice. Because your remembering is no longer just telling yourself or reminding yourself with words and thoughts. Your remembering now becomes many periods of meditation throughout the day and night, in which you have the actual glimpse. And so your remembering, or your practicing the presence, becomes not a remembering, but an ongoing conscious awareness. But you can't get to that conscious awareness if you haven't yet practiced the presence. So go back and read the book, Practicing the Presence, and start there. But if you have had a glimpse, or two or three or five, then you know what you need to do. Have many periods of meditation for one or two or three minutes, in which you enter the silence. Now, he says here on page 33, all that the Father has is mine. Yet of that infinite allness, we can show forth only whatever degree of realization we may attain. But to attain even a grain or a glimpse of the realization of God is to bring miracles into our experience. Now, this is something else that I harp on. I guess I just harp on a lot of things. And that is, you can say to yourself, in whatever flowery language you like, God is all. God is all, God is all, God is all. Only God is. Everything else is illusion. Only God is. God is the only life. I live in God, and God in me. And you can repeat those flowery statements all you want. But if you don't have the actual feel of it, you can stay in poverty, in lack, and in limitation, and in disease, and in anger and resentment and guilt and feeling less than and whatever the particular pit of sorrow is, whatever the particular appearance is that you're struggling with. It doesn't matter if God is all. Don't you see, Joel has told us for so many years now, I have told you the real secret of life, says Joel in the Infinite Way Wisdoms. God is not with mortals. Take it from there. God is not in the human scene. So let us not pretend and walk around with this flowery language anymore. It's not getting us anywhere. God is not all. There's this thing called universal hypnotism. And if you're suffering from a lack or a limitation, it's because you're standing in the conscious awareness of hypnotism. And you're hypnotized. And God is not all, because God's not in your hypnotism. What does that mean? Does that mean that God's not omnipresent? No, that's not what that means. It means that even though God's omnipresent, you're never going to see Him or feel Him. You're going to die in your hypnotism. Unless you follow the path that will lead you out of hypnotism and into the silence, where something greater than you, greater than your mind, greater than your body, greater than all your knowing, can lift you into and develop your spiritual awareness of God's omnipresence. And even if it's only for a second, or two, or three, or 10, that glimpse is what melts the hypnotism. That's what breaks the hypnotism, and nothing else. Nothing, 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 nothing else. And if it isn't broken, it's because you haven't had the glimpse. So what do you have to do? You have to have many periods a day. If necessary, go back and start with practicing the presence. But if you've done that and are doing that, now add to it meditation and have many periods a day. Not two or three long ones, but many periods a day, as many as 12. I'm sure he had even more. Of 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, until you accidentally learn or accidentally have your first entering the silence and feel that glorious, beautiful presence flow into your being. Then you know you are on the way. And you will know your spiritual discernment, which is the only thing that can give you the kingdom or give you your freedom, is being developed in and during that glimpse. All right? Now, that glimpse, however small or large, is what dissolves the appearance and reveals in its place fulfillment, peace, joy, harmony, abundance. In other words, God. So he says here at the bottom of the page, Elijah demonstrated God's presence. See, he didn't demonstrate forms. He demonstrated this glimpse. He was living in the conscious awareness of God's presence. Now there's that word again, the conscious awareness, those two words. Conscious awareness. I love those two words. Because they have nothing to do with any words. Nothing to do with any thoughts. Nothing to do with statements of truth. Nothing to do with holy scriptures. Conscious awareness has nothing to do with thinking. Conscious awareness has nothing to do with the emotions. Conscious awareness has nothing to do with you. Conscious awareness is developed, given. It happens in the silence when you are totally still, exercising no power of body or of mind, not even words, not even thoughts. In that stillness, conscious awareness happens. And that conscious awareness manifests as your freedom, your fulfillment, your harmony, your peace. In other words, you either are living on the husks of words and thoughts, and it's not working. Therefore, you're entertaining in your mind the belief in two, and that is manifesting. Or, you've come out of the dead, and are now beginning to be a part of the living. You are having glimpses of the is. Not thoughts, but the actual feeling, the conscious awareness of God and God's Spirit in you and as you. Standing outside of the mind, you're having a glimpse of the isness of infinite being. You're feeling it. And then that manifests. You see, you're standing in the second chapter of Genesis, where mind is forming itself with the belief in two powers. Or you're standing in the first chapter of Genesis, a beholder of God living itself and manifesting itself. And you know where you are standing by opening your eyes and looking. Are you standing in harmony, peace, fulfillment? Or are you standing in good and bad and lack and limitation and difficulties? I mean, ongoing ones. All right, so to continue with this chapter, I wrote at the bottom here in my book. My books are all marked up, and I have arrows and stars and words that come to me. I wrote down here, you must be consciously aware of God's presence because you can only demonstrate that which you are conscious of. That which you are conscious of takes form. Realization is demonstration. Now, you have a consciousness. If your consciousness, we are told, is filled with fear and anger and love of appearances of good and good things and good people, or bad, afraid of bad things and lack and limitation and disease and difficulties, let's say economic downturns, national depressions. If your consciousness is filled with those two, and you are perhaps, let's say, enthralled with the good of a new job or a new girlfriend or boyfriend or a beautiful sunset, if you're enthralled with those things and you see them as good and they make you happy, then the good in your consciousness, the evil in your consciousness is going to manifest. The good and evil, the belief in two powers is going to manifest, and you're going to manifest good one day, bad the next, good and bad, always trying to make the bad good, and so on and so forth. But if your consciousness is filled with the actual living presence of the Father, and you feel it, you're consciously aware of it, then that consciousness will manifest as God. And God is interpreted by your mind as fulfillment, peace, joy, harmony, abundance, every good and perfect gift. You see that? All right, so he says here, God is the necessary substance, but the form takes care of itself. And so that's why this chapter is called the One Great Demonstration. I don't care what form you think you need. What you need is what we all need. The spiritual development of our conscious awareness, which takes place in the silence. And so he says, we can be still. We can be still and let. And if or when we can be still enough, God will function as our very being. And so if you are practicing contemplation, that's fine, that's okay. Get over it as fast as you can. Get to the place where you can close your eyes, say a sentence or two, and then rest in the Word. And have many periods each day, maybe as many as 12 or more, for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes. Because in that silence, when you enter the silence, That's where the glimpse happens, and your glimpse takes form. But you can't make yourself have a glimpse. You can only prepare yourself by, as quickly as possible, getting inside yourself and being still. And you learn how to enter that silence through the practice of many meditations during the day and night. So he says, even though you have a thought or two, he says, I would call that contemplation. But upon finishing, I would be still and take the next step, which is, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I would keep my inner ear open as though I really were listening for the voice of God. Then, if I were still, an impartation would come to me from that infinite invisible. It might be a message, it could be just a deep breath, a feeling of warmth, or it might be a feeling as though a weight had fallen away from my shoulders, or a release. But in some way, within a minute or two, it doesn't say within 30 minutes, within a minute or two, I would receive an inner assurance, it is done, God is on the field. He would experience that inner release. I would be standing consciously in the presence of God, a beholder watching God at work. You see that? Through these many periods of meditation a day. And look, if you're on a job where people are bothering you constantly, you can always excuse yourself and go to the restroom or wherever else you can find a place to be quiet for a minute or two or three. I've done this working in a factory with a high-paced environment. And yet I was able to practice this. We had a place in the back of the factory where we had to go to get our nuts and bolts and screws and parts. And sometimes I'd go back there. Well, many times a day I had to go there for something. I was building digital magnetic tape drives, and I had to go back there for parts. And so I would walk back there. It was quiet back there. I would close my eyes for a minute or two or three. You can find a way to do this. Since your freedom depends on where the Spirit of the Lord is consciously felt, well, how bad do you want it? If you want it bad enough, you'll practice this until you have these glimpses, till eventually you get to where almost at will you can enter the silence. And then it becomes a constant conscious awareness, not a constant thinking about God. No. Let's put it this way. You have almost a constant conscious feeling of the presence. Now, he says, I would be standing consciously in the presence of God, beholding God at work. And tomorrow morning, the result would be apparent. In my mail, on the telephone, in some way, there would be an awareness during the day that something had taken place in my experience for which I was not humanly responsible. And then I would know the voice of God really had spoken. The earth of error melted. The presence of God appeared, and peace was restored. You see that? He's been telling us for, well, what is this now? 2010? Oh, roughly 70 years? That meditation is the secret key that unlocks the kingdom. But we have thought that contemplating some statements of truth and thinking about them for a while during the day, and maybe having one long period of meditation in the morning and at lunch and at night, is enough. Yet we continue in our struggles and we wonder why. It's because the natural man, which up until now everything we just mentioned is the natural man. What? Studying books and having a long period of meditation is the natural man? Yes. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. But that spiritual discernment is developed when the natural man is not there. When the natural man is not exercising any of these abilities or capacities or capabilities or not exercising anything of the body or anything of the intellect or mind or emotions. When the natural man is still and begins to catch these periods of silence, then spiritual discernment is developed. And it is developed much, much, much more in 1 minute of silence than in 24 hours of reading. All right. So, if you would experience the grace of God in your life, if you would experience the Spirit that sets you free, if you would know the Christ, and the Christ will set you free, then you're going to have to rise up out of the letter and into the Spirit as a conscious awareness, not as a thought, definitely not as words, but as a glimpse of the infinite. And this will happen to you if you have practiced the presence and are now adding meditation many periods a day and in the night, in which you take 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, drop whatever appearance is appearing to your mind, and if you must take a statement, take some scripture or some statement of truth, only one that has nothing to do with the appearance. In other words, if there's an appearance of illness, you wouldn't take into your meditation, into your contemplation part of your meditation, God is the health of my countenance, because those two connect and you're in a battle. And you don't want a battle, because then the mind's involved, you're exercising power, and silence cannot be attained. And so if it were a problem of illness, you might close your eyes. Now don't copy me. Pick your own. But you might close your eyes and say, I have meat to eat the world knows not of. Now that doesn't connect to illness. Or you might take, I am the way. Or you might take, if you have an appearance of lack, an appearance of financial lack, you might close your eyes and realize God is. That's all, just God is. Or you might close your eyes, you're looking at inability to pay your bills, and you might close your eyes and say to yourself, in the contemplative part of your meditation, you might say, I am the life. You see, something that's not connected. And then don't go on to other statements. Just say that once or twice and rest. Be still for a minute or two or three, but no more. Just be still. Sometimes I remind myself, I'm not exercising any power. I'm not loving or hating or fearing. I'm just resting. Father, thy grace is my sufficiency. I might, at another time, receive a phone call where someone says to me, Would you help my husband? He has water on the heart. And they're talking about sudden cardiac arrest as a possibility. And then I would say, yes, I will help you. I'll hang up the phone, close my eyes, and say, this is World Dream. I rest. It has no creator. And so I rest. Father, reveal thy omnipresence. And I wait for a minute or two or three until I have that experience Joel talks about. We have the actual conscious awareness of a presence entering our being. You can feel it flow in, and I don't know how to describe it. I can describe it as it happens to me. I can't describe it as it happens to Joel, although he has described it in his writings. For me, there's a feeling of an actual transcendental presence flowing into my being. It might flow into the left side of me, or the right side, or on the top of my head, or on the side of a cheek, or down my arm, sometimes on my leg. But it flows into my being, and I know that God is on the field. I've had a glimpse of God. Sometimes there's a statement of truth with it, but more often than not, there isn't. There's no message. There's no actual verbal voice. It's only that feeling of the presence. But it's enough to release me. My shoulders relax. I know that God is on the field. That God is all. Not because I just said to myself, God, reveal your omnipresence. That didn't do anything and won't do anything. But because after I said that, I momentarily relaxed. For a moment, I wasn't exercising any power. The body was still, the mind wasn't thinking any statements of truth, it wasn't denying any error, it was just still waiting, waiting, waiting. And there's a movement, I catch an actual glimpse, a conscious awareness, spiritual discernment is developing. I'm watching it developing. I'm not participating, I'm beholding. And it is developing itself. And that glimpse in consciousness forms itself and fulfills the need of the moment. And I don't know what that is. It may have nothing to do with that person that just called and their heart. It may be that that person and their heart continues to consult medical advice, and perhaps has a pacemaker put in and takes Lasix or whatever to clear up the water, but in the next day or week or month, that person, in a period of introspection, has a spiritual experience. And suddenly their attention is turned to God. And in the weeks and months and years that follow, they become free of any medical dependency. Do you see? You see, I don't know how it's going to manifest. I can't say, oh, sure, I'll pray for a job for you. I can't. The best I can say is I will give you some help and then drop you, enter my meditation, catch a moment of stillness, watch as spirit enters being, and then watch again as spirit forms itself as the fulfillment of the need. Alright? You see that? Alright, so what do we have? Again, let's look at these first two paragraphs. We'll read them straight through, and that'll wrap up this chapter. The name of this chapter is The One Great Demonstration, and hopefully you know by now that one great demonstration is the actual presence, the conscious awareness of spirit. And so it says, learning the importance of meditation is one of the first requisites in the development of spiritual awareness. Regardless of our intellectual capabilities or the amount of reading or listening we may do, our spiritual capacity expands only in proportion to our ability to meditate. The spiritual awareness is developed in silence, not in thinking, in listening, or in reading. More spiritual awareness can be developed in 1 minute of silence than in 24 hours of reading. For this reason, reading and studying are only tools which we use to enable us to reach that inner silence known as meditation. As we meditate and open the inner soul or spiritual faculty, we shall not only understand things that we knew about and never before understood, but things that we may never even have heard of before. In the stillness and quiet of the silence, we are able to receive that which cannot be heard through the ears or thought through the mind. The more often we meditate, not the length of time in any one period, but the number of times in each 24 hours, even if it is only for a minute or two or three, the more rapidly will our spiritual awareness be developed, and spiritual harmony will be brought into our experience. And so, this chapter is all about learning to move from the letter to the spirit, to move from the mind to the spirit, or to consciousness. You know spirit and consciousness are the same, don't you? Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the conscious awareness or the consciousness of Christ is, there is liberty. Where the conscious feel of the presence is, there is liberty. Right? So you know spirit and consciousness are the same. But back then they didn't have the word consciousness. They had the word spirit. Now we have the word consciousness. If so be that the Spirit of God is upon you, then are you the sons of God, is one of Joel's favorite quotes. Which means, if so be that the conscious awareness of the living presence is in you, then you are that living presence expressed, or the Son of God. You see? Simple, huh? But if you haven't developed that, you're not having glimpses, go back and see what you missed. Don't kid yourself that because you can spout the words and write up paragraphs of sweet sounding words and the infinite way in online somewhere or to your friends that you have the consciousness. If you are not beginning to experience glimpses which are manifesting as freedom, then come on, please, don't waste any more years. Learn to practice the presence. Add to that learning the ability to meditate. Have many periods a day during the day and night for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes until you begin to have glimpses, until you begin to enter the silence and spiritual discernment is developed for you and starts expressing as the freedom of your life. Then, of course, you will learn to do that consciously more and more when called upon for help. And you will be standing to one side as a beholder as Christ liveth your life. And then you can join us in the fellowship of the Spirit, the White Brotherhood, the fellowship of consciousness, of Christ consciousness, both in the invisible and in the visible. You will be a part of that fellowship. Well, I believe that's it for today. We're at a minute and an hour and 5 minutes, so I guess I better wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Please do this thing and join us in the fellowship of Christ.